Good evening. Turn with me to Ezra chapter number 5. We'll be looking in Ezra tonight, continuing the study of the book of Ezra, the building of the temple. Ezra chapter number 5, verse number 1 says, "Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied, and the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them." I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled, "When Called Men Stand." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the example that you have given to us of these Jews in Judah at this time. Thank you for the book of Ezra and the wealth of knowledge that you have given to us through it. Lord, help us tonight to hear this message, to take this lesson to heart, and to be encouraged by it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To set the stage, remember that at this time the foundation of the temple has been laid. And about a month ago, I taught on chapter 4, and we saw how they had stopped the work. We saw in Haggai then how Haggai comes and teaches them and encourages them in the word through the prophecy of God that they should build. The time is now to build the temple. And so that's where we pick up. We pick up in chapter 5 here the response of the people to begin building now the temple. And so we see in verse 2, there are a couple of characters that come along. "Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak." Now, who are these people? Zerubbabel is the governor of Judah. So he is responsible for the government side of things for the people of Israel in the land of Judah there. And then we have Jeshua, who, if you remember from Haggai, was pronounced Joshua. And this is the same man. And so this Jeshua, son of Jozadak, is the high priest. And so we have the governmental leader and we have the religious leader. And these two working together in the process of building the temple. You see there are those two names together throughout the book here of Ezra. And so here they are, these two people. They stand and they begin to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. With the prophets that were there with them. In verse number 3, we find another character. And so in verse number 3, it says, "At that same time came to them Tatnai, the governor, on this side of the river, and Shetharboznai and their companions, and said thus unto him, Who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall?" Now, who is Tatnai? It says, "Tatnai, the governor of this side of the river." Tatnai would have been a satrap or a governor of the Persian Empire. Remember that the Persian Empire at this time ruled the world. And here this man Tatnai is the satrap or the governor over this side of the river. Now in my study I found that it's likely that Tatnai was ruler from as far north as modern-day southern Turkey and as far east as Syria, and all the way down potentially to the borders of Egypt. And so that puts him as governor over the land of Judah, doesn't it? And so there is a real possibility that Zerubbabel in some way reports to Tatnai. It puts Tatnai at least in a very high status, a very important person in the area. It's not just like some governor neighboring to Judah. This is a very important figure in the Persian administrative state. Now, it says this side of the river, I believe that's the Euphrates River, not the Jordan River. So this is a very large area. So Tatnai, the governor, comes to them, and Shetharboznai, now we don't know anything about Shetharboznai, but he's named here by name. So a very important figure with name recognition, at least, to be able to be mentioned in that way, and their companions, and they said thus unto them, "Who had commanded you to build this house and make up this wall?" And they said unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? Now, I want you to understand, let's use an illustration here, what this might be like. So imagine there was a law that went into effect that there were no churches in America that were allowed to have services. All across the country, it was against the law to have services. But we, North Hills Bible Church, decided, well, we believe God's calling us to have a service anyway. So we come together and Sunday, and we have a service on a Sunday. And first week goes by, nothing happens, and so we're okay, this is good. So we come in the next Sunday, we have another service, and the governor of Pennsylvania walks in the door. And along with him is the chief of police of Pennsylvania State Police. And with them are some other officials from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And they begin to go around to each person and ask for our IDs. And they take down our names. What would that do to your feeling about the work that you're doing in attending a church service? That's exactly what has happened here to the Jews. They are beginning again to build the temple, as they believe God has commanded them to do, and Tatnai the governor and Shethar-Boznai and his companions come to them and ask for their names. Say, who has commanded you to do this thing? And I want all of your names. I want you to see verse number 5 here. It says, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease. Now, this is the first time in Ezra that this term, the eye of the Lord, is upon them. Now, God had blessed the Israelites. God had given them the opportunity to leave captivity. He had given them all the resources they needed to begin the process of building the temple, to send them back. But something has changed. There has been a period of time, the work has ceased, and now as they begin to build with the motivation that God has given them through the prophets of Haggai and Zechariah, and through the determination that they have in continuing to do the work, look what happens. The eye of their God was upon them. And so we're going to see the effect of the eye of God on their work. First of all, we see right away, they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. So no matter what they tried to do, they couldn't stop them. You'll remember that back in chapter 4, when a letter came from King Artaxerxes, the work stopped immediately. They came by power and force and stopped the work. But this time, that doesn't seem possible. Nothing they try can seem to stop the Jews from building the temple. And the work goes on. And so they escalate the matter to Darius the king. And so in the end of verse 5 there, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. Verse number 6. The copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor this side the river, and Shethar-Boznai and his companions, the Apharsachites, which were on this side of the river, sent to Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus. Now, this is always fun to me, these letters, because it's almost like digging up an archaeological dig and you find this letter, this manuscript or something, and there it is. This was the letter that was sent from Tatnai to King Darius in the Persian Empire. And so I'm going to read this letter and I'll just read it in its entirety, and then we'll talk about it here a little bit. Unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went unto the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth on fast and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders and said unto them thus, who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? And we asked their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of men that were chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave unto them the hand into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God, and the vessels also of gold and of silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them unto the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto him, take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, it hath been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seem good to the king, let search be made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. That is quite a letter, and it's a fascinating thing because it reveals a little bit about the inner workings of the Persian Empire at this time. It's an appeal, almost like a legal appeal. Tatnai, unable to resolve this matter, escalates the issue to the emperor, effectively. And it begins with the issue, and then it lays out the response, and it seems to be an honest response of what the Jews' argument was. And then it asks for a particular action. Search for a record of this. And I wonder a little bit if Tatnai had the idea that maybe they wouldn't find any such record, and we'll get into why in a minute. So, chapter number 6. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found in Ekmetha, in the palace, that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. Now, wait a minute. Where was the search in chapter 6, verse 1? The search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. Okay, Babylon. We know where Babylon is, right? Okay, now, and verse 2, and there was found at Ekmetha in the palace, that is in the province of the Medes. Is that in Babylon? No. Media is an area, would have been within the Persian Empire. You remember it's the Medes and the Persians. And the Medes were to the north. And when they were first conquered, the Persians conquered the Medes, but they sort of absorbed them. And they made many of the Median leaders to be leaders within the Persian Empire. And so it really became the Median-Persian Empire, but the Persians really were the ones ruling it. They're really sort of multicultural, if you can think of that, back in that time. It's sort of interesting. But so here the search begins in Babylon, and they begin looking for rolls. And if you can imagine, there were many rolls that would have been an archive, and they're searching through, and they pull a roll out. Is this one relevant to the temple in Jerusalem? No, it's not. I put that one back. Pull the next roll out. Is this roll relevant to the building of the temple in Jerusalem? No, it's not. Put that one back. And so they begin searching all through Babylon. But nothing is found in Babylon. And I think this may have been what Tatnai was hoping for. There's something important we need to understand to get why this was found in Media, is that the kings of Persia would travel. There were three or four cities that they would occupy during a year. The biggest center, as I understand it, was Susa, which you may know as Shushan. This was the great capital for the winter months for the Persian king. And in the summer months, Ekbatana, or as we see it here, Ekmetha, was used for the hottest parts of the summer. And then we have Persepolis, which was in Persis. This was where the Persian empire really began. This is where the Persian people came from. And then, of course, Babylon. Babylon was the great world power during the Babylonian Empire and still had great influence. As we can see, the connection here to the Jews, the Babylon is still a prominent place where they ruled from. And so the king would move from city to city and continue. There would be a delegation would come with him. He would perform his administrative duties in that city and move on to the next city. And so records would have been kept for all the things that he was doing. But there was actually quite an administrative state and quite a communication system at this time. And so to the north in Media, perhaps one of the least used of the capitals is a role that's found. Now you could say, wow, that's quite a coincidence. But remember, the eye of the Lord is upon the elders of the Jews. The eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews. And so now we begin to see the evidence of this. This role may never have been found, but it is found. And look at the ramifications of this. Verse number 2, there was found in Ekmetha in the palace, that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record written. I'm going to read the record that we found, another archaeological moment for us here. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, and the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones, and a row of new timber. And let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now, there's an abrupt change here. We see, first of all, this is a copy of the roll that was found. And now, King Darius is going to add to this and give his response. And so we see in verse 6, it says, "Now, therefore, Tatnai, the governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Apharsachites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place." Now, King Darius could have had a lot of responses to this role, because as you remember, the prior king had said they need to stop the work. And so he could have responded in several different ways. But in this case, the eye of God was upon the elders of the Jews, and King Darius had a favorable view of the situation for the Jews, and he supported them. But it doesn't end there. He doubles down, and he goes even further. Look in verse number 8. "Moreover, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of the Jews for the building of this house of God, that the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto the men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs and burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons." What an incredible thing. Now King Darius is telling the very people who were trying to stop the work that they are supposed to contribute to it. They have to give tribute to this work. And not only that, they have to give resources for the sacrifices that will take place in the temple. And I find this somewhat interesting here in verse number 10. It says, King Darius is speaking. He says that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Now, knowing what I know about Persian history, very likely this was a political move, not necessarily a point of belief. But it makes me kind of curious the wording that he uses, he refers to God as the God of heaven, not as the God that is in Jerusalem, as we saw in a prior statement. And he says that he would like the Jews to pray for the life of the king and his sons. What would motivate him to want them to do that? It makes me curious. Maybe there was a part of him that understood. This was not the same Darius that Daniel would have known, but certainly Daniel would have left knowledge of God in Babylon. It's possible that information about the God of Israel was given to King Darius. We don't know. But I find it a curious little hint dropped there in the scriptures. And it continues, he says in verse number 11, "And I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon. And let this house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put their hand to alter and destroy this house of God, which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed." So he puts a little guarantee at the end and makes a very, very emphatic statement and says, this is what will happen. This is a magnificent victory, something so far beyond what the Jews could have asked for. And so finally, they're able to finish the building of the temple. Verse number 13, "Then Tattenai, the governor on this side of the river, Shethar-Boznai and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so did they speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of God, the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel and the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of the house of God with joy." So they observed the Passover. They had this great celebration. The temple was complete. But the big question remains, why was the eye of God on the people of Israel? What made the difference? If we go back to chapter 3, Ezra chapter 3, the beginning of the chapter here. It says, "And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, and the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem, then stood up Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God." Remember, we heard about that, how they prioritized the altar. When they came to Israel, they came to Jerusalem, they prioritized building the altar. They could have started with the walls. They could have started with a lot of things. But they said, no, we must begin with God and worship him. But notice here in verse number 2, they stood up. And this is what they said, we will do. We, regardless of the fear of the enemies that might be around us, we will take a stand and worship God first. Now look down in verse number 8. "Now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua and his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons and the sons of Judah, together to set forward the work, to set forward the workmen of the house of God." So here they're standing up to begin putting the work forward. And they're taking a stand here. And then we come over to chapter number 4 and verse 23. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And so the work stopped. And chapter number 5 and verse 1, then the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God. How do you rise up if you're already standing? You don't. You have to first be sitting down. See, this was the problem. Zerubbabel and Joshua had both become too relaxed. They had taken a seat. They had said, well, when the Lord decides to open the door and let us work again, we'll work again, but it's not time now. And they had become relaxed and complacent. And I fear so many Christians today are in this same position. We come into church, all of the things that are in the church are fine, and we go through our normal day-to-day services and all of these things. But all around us is a world full of people who need Jesus. And we can just sit there and say, well, when the Lord opens the door and then maybe people will listen. But nobody's listening now, so there's not a big deal. I'll just wait till he opens the door. That is not how God wants us to live. What God wants us to do is to take a stand. Look with me in Haggai. This is the final ingredient. At the end of the book of Haggai, chapter number 2. Haggai chapter number 2 and verse number 20. It says, and again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai and in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdom of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, I chose you, Zerubbabel. And we find here in Ezra chapter 5 that when Zerubbabel stood up, he rose up and began to build, that the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews. So my question for you is, what has God chosen you to do? God would like you to be doing something for him. And whatever that is, when God calls you and you stand, his eye will be on you. And nothing will stop you because it's not your work, it's his. We have a pulpit committee is looking for the next pastor. And we have had several discussions where we're all very much on this same page. It's not our work. We need to be able to take a stand and do the work. But it's God who does the work. it's the eye of God being on us that is going to make it effective. It's our responsibility to take a stand. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the book of Ezra, the lessons that are here. Lord, with our many questions that we have in our lives, maybe some of us have more questions than others, but Lord, you have directed each one of us to live by faith. You've directed each one of us to trust you. Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us to stand. Give us, Lord, direction that we can take a stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.